Hey, fellow high functioners. Welcome to today's installment of the Disaster Diaries. So I started my day with the miracle morning, and it really hit home, and I listened to it again. And I think I'm going to need to do it again tomorrow, along with my one that is up for tomorrow. It's about mental health. And mental health is an incredibly important topic. And not just in society. It's incredibly important in my own life. I don't hide having been diagnosed as a teenager with anxiety and panic disorder. I had severe panic attacks for many, many years. And for the most part right now, and I have for, I don't know, at least 20 years, been able to manage the panic without any sort of medication. Let me clarify that. I take a daily medication that controls the anxiety. If I can control my anxiety, I typically can control the panic. There are very, very few and rare occasions when I have a panic attack and I don't feel it coming with enough of a warning or enough leeway that I can get in front of it and regulate my nervous system and then not have a panic attack. So it's incredibly rare for me to have a full-blown panic attack. I might feel anxious, but again, I have learned tools and techniques to get in front of those episodes that are typically difficult for me to manage. And for that, I'm incredibly grateful. Brandon deals also with some mental health issues, and he has his own story. And it's really the backbone, so to speak, for his podcast, Ashes and Aftermath, because he does have a ton of childhood trauma that he endured. And so does my mom. And today is my birthday. And today has felt incredibly heavy. It plays on my mind something my mom said to me a couple of days ago. I think it was Sunday. Could have been Friday. Could have been Saturday. But it was really recently. She told me she didn't want me to care about her. She didn't need me to care about her because she doesn't deserve for me to care. She doesn't deserve for anyone to care about her. She doesn't deserve anything. And in the moment, I took that as bullshit. Although, to be clear and fair, I believe that she was telling the truth, her truth, but it wasn't, it's not true. It is her truth, and that's her perspective. And it actually, something that Brandon said is, well, that's not helpful. And I disagree with that. It's helpful in that it informs the situation. It's informative as to why she is doing the things that she is doing or not doing. And knowing that she feels that she's not worth care and support is incredibly helpful in understanding why she doesn't take a shower, why she doesn't want to take a shower, why she won't eat, why she doesn't want to eat. And then when she gets so incredibly hungry, but she's literally ravenous. And it was Saturday or Sunday that she came into the kitchen. And when Brandon and I went to Costco, we got a rotisserie chicken. And we hadn't cut it yet. And that's okay. It was in the refrigerator. But she pulled it out and she just, to be clear, her hands were clean. I know for a fact that she had just washed her hands before she did this. But she pulled it out and just tore off a big chunk of meat and one of the legs, and she ate like a stereotypical homeless person. She ate like she hadn't eaten in days and days. And it was horrific because we have food. We are never out of food. There's always something to eat. There's always something available for her to have, for any of us to have. But she chooses to not partake in food. She chooses to rail against going to appointments. And we have one on Thursday. I have one the same day in the same building at a different office. And so mine is a bit earlier than hers, but I'm hoping that I can get her to go at the same time so that, you know, I don't have to come back home and then go back again, because honestly, it's about 30 minutes each way. And I'm not trying to be on the road for 2 hours. So I hope that I can get her motivated to make it. And if I can't, then I can't, and it's up to her. As difficult and as heartbreaking as it is, it's up to her. So I mentioned that today is my birthday. And when I told her it was my birthday, she told me that it wasn't. She actually said, "Who told you that? Who told you when your birthday is?" I said, "My birth certificate." She said, "No, who told you that it's today?" I said, "The calendar." She said, "No, it's wrong." So I had her look at her phone. And she said, "Oh, the depression is so deep and so dark that she doesn't believe that she is worth being awake even. We're trying to figure out a course of medication and which medications will work for her, but it's incredibly difficult. And it's an incredibly difficult situation to be part of, to watch somebody that you care about be in such a dark place. I know that I'm not the only one who has experienced this or is currently experiencing it. I just hope that she comes out of it sooner rather than later, and that she gets to live a full, happy life for whatever days that she has left. And I don't think that it's few if she starts doing what she needs to do, what she needs to do to be healthy and alive, which includes eating properly and moving around, being social. It's so heartbreaking, so heartbreaking. So let's talk about my day otherwise. It was super chill, low key. I did some editing. I did my miracle morning. I did some editing. I was supposed to have a meeting today, and that fell through because the other person recently took a new position and didn't realize that I was on his calendar for today. And so we'll figure out when to meet again. But I think that it's an opportunity for a partnership that I think is going to be incredibly helpful and beneficial moving forward, at least in the future, and also get me exposure to different things and lending my skills and talents to what he has going on. And I felt really nauseous this afternoon / evening, and I had to rest. But because the day was so quiet and so chill, I rested a lot and I reflected. And that is something that I tend to do on my birthday, reflect. I'm very introspective in general. And so I was reflective and I thought about things. And some of y'all are going to think I'm cuckoo. And that's fine. But I'm not. This house has spirits in it, like literal energy spirits. If you haven't listened to all of my daily entries, if you will, then you wouldn't know that this is my childhood home. My husband and I live with my mother, and we moved in as a way to help her before she retired. And here we are still, and now it has become a necessity for us because I lost my job in February. But this house I grew up in from less than 2 years old, and I could see the spirits when I was a child, and they were terrifying. Not because they were scary, but because they look like people, except I didn't know them and I could only see them at night. And I don't know why they were in the house. And that was terrifying. But I know that they're still here because they do things. They hide things. They move things around. And they have done that since as long as I can remember. When I was a kid, I wear glasses. If you've never seen a picture of me, I wear glasses. I do wear contacts. But generally, these days, I just wear glasses. And so as a child, I had glasses. And the glasses would go missing between when I went to sleep at night and when I needed them in the morning. So when I was looking for them in the morning, they weren't on my bedside table. And my mom would get so mad at me because my glasses were very frequently not where I left them. And she would say, well, if you put them in the same place every night, you'll be able to find them in the morning. And even though I would tell her I did put them on my table, she didn't believe me. And very frequently, they would be under the bed, like way far under the bed, not just like right under, but far under the bed, or under the table and back against the wall. And sometimes I could look under either place and they would not be under there. Granted, there was not anything else underneath either thing. So I should be able to see them if they're under there. But then after so much commotion and, you know, drama, I'll just say after so much drama of not being able to find my glasses, they would appear. Last week, my cat was in a drawer in the dresser, and there's absolutely no way that he got in there himself. I did not put him in there. He was not in that drawer before Brandon went to work. I saw him between the time Brandon left and I found him in the drawer. And I just had to tell them, leave the cat alone. In fact, leave all the pets alone. I have no idea why I'm telling you this, except that weird things keep happening with my computer today. So while editing, things would get undone while I was listening. Like if I clipped out a long pause, it would go right back, even though I use shortcuts on the keyboard, even though I'm not touching the mouse, I'm not touching the keyboard, nothing is on the keyboard. And just a minute ago, a YouTube video from my friend Maria Lessie in Australia. She has the podcast called Unsilence Grief. She broadcasts on Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern. She does it live, and I caught her episode. Now, the tab is still open for that because I missed the first 10 or 15 minutes and I want to go back and watch that. Except, whilst I'm trying to record this daily entry, that video starts playing. Now, I understand if I have earbuds in and I touch my earbuds in a way, it does pop up my Apple Music and start playing, or it will play some other video if it's open in another tab or window, like QuickTime or something. I'm not wearing earbuds, and I have not worn earbuds all day. I have a headset on that is not touch controlled. And even if it was, I wasn't touching it. So there's no reason for that video to just start playing. So I've had to tell them to fuck off and leave my electronics alone. They're not mean. They're just a little mischievous. Anyway, so I was saying, today it was chill and I took a nap and that was fantastic. And then I had a text conversation with my cousin and some friends texted me, and that was really nice. I know a lot of people like to wish you a happy birthday on social media, and that's fine. I don't get on social media a lot. I know I've shared that in the past. It can be such a time suck, and I really don't want to see people's highlight reels. I want to know what's really going on. I want to know their truth. I don't want to see their life through rose-colored glasses, because that's not real. I'm not saying it's dishonest, because I believe it is honest that they're putting things out that are true, but it's not real. It's not real life. It's not the full picture.
That's why it's a highlight reel.
So I'm not interested in a highlight reel. I'm interested in real life. I had a text conversation with a couple of friends. They're twin sisters. They live in North Carolina. And Brandon and I have been planning to move to North Carolina, except that plan is on hold because, well, I still don't have a job, and it's kind of difficult to move and then live somewhere when we only have one income. Things are incredibly expensive, as you all know, and so we definitely need two incomes. And I found out that one of them lost her son recently. And my heart was so broken because I can't even imagine. I can't even begin to imagine the depth of grief that she feels. I can certainly try. And the closest I can get is I have a nephew. And he was born just ahead of my sophomore year of high school. And I helped take care of him from when he was about 5 months old until he was nearly 5 years old. And so I call him my little brother nephew son. He's the absolute closest thing I have to a child. Of my own, anyway. And so all I can do is imagine having lost him. And it's devastating. But I know it's not the same. It's not the same level as what she feels. She birthed this baby. He grew into an adult. I've never met any of their children, but I've known them for a long time. One of them was my RA, my freshman year of college. And to be clear, one of the sisters was my RA, my freshman year in college. And so I've known them since I was 18. That's a long time, but I've not ever met any of their children because the one moved back home where they're from after graduating. They're 2 years ahead of me in college. And the other one stayed around. It's kind of not true. So her oldest, I did kind of meet him when he was an infant. But that doesn't count. I wouldn't count that. So I just watched their families grow on social media and kept in touch with them through social media and via text messages. But I just can't imagine losing my nephew. And I know that that would be so, so devastating. And how much more devastating is this? So I shared Marie's podcast or just her whole YouTube channel with both of them because we had a group text. Their birthdays this week as well. And so I just, you know, let them know about Marie and, you know, the work that she does with Unsilenced Grief. And I think that is so incredibly important. But anyway, so I really enjoyed chatting with them via text. And my brother texted me happy birthday, which is great because I think he doesn't normally text me, but, you know, like my birthday only comes once a year like everyone else. And I don't remember. I have limited bandwidth mentally these days. So I hold on to only those things that break and usually let those things that will either bounce or sort of bounce and are really unlikely to break fall. So whether or not my brother sent me a text message last year for my birthday, completely unimportant. It's been a decent day, just a heavy day. I'm grateful for the editing that I've gotten done. Life in the Berry Lane, I did some work on that. Not ready for a published post yet, but I will get one out tomorrow. I promise you that. And if I don't, something really big happened. So barring any extreme circumstances, anything out of my control, there will be at least one Life in the Berry Lane post. There will be at least one Life in the Berry Lane episode posting tomorrow. And I'm really excited about that. I got some cover art done so that I can add those in with the episodes that go up. So again, I'm putting this out there. If you are a bariatric patient, if you've had gastric bypass, gastric sleeve or vertical sleeve gastrectomy, SADI, duodenal switch, any bariatric surgery or other bariatric procedure, I don't think they still do lap bands, but if you've had success with a lap band, I'd love to talk to you. I don't personally know anyone who's had success with a lap band. I know some people who've had it, but they had a lot of complications and not very good outcomes. So, I would love to talk to you if you're a bariatric patient. Also, if you're living a high functioning in public with that mask on, but your life feels and perhaps is like a disaster, I'd love to talk to you too. You can find all the ways to connect in the show description. And yeah, just reach out. Email is best because, again, I'm not great with social media right now, but I will get there. So I think that's everything I needed to share today. I honestly didn't even make a note, keep a tally of the things that went on today. I just existed today and I loved that. So that's it for today. I'll see you tomorrow with my next installment of The Disaster Diaries.